everybody. We just brought the moon over the mountain.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. It wasn't much of a fight. I stood like that, but not for long.
Quiet. This broadcast is coming to you through the courtesy of
99.1 FM, CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Are you listening? Now, don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll soon be with you. Boom. Cuckoo.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
They're lurking under your kitchen cabinets, sliding their way across your floors, and slinking their way down your shower walls into your bath water. They're your favorite household cleaning agents, even those labeled green and organic. And today's guest, Vince Elliott, says they're making companies millions but costing us our health and damaging our planet. He's here today to offer hope and solutions for breaking some of our most dangerous cleaning habits. Vince, welcome to the show.
Great pleasure to be here, Big Digi. How are you?
I'm good. So you say the chemicals in our homes increase the autism rate, cancer rate, even the number of children born with birth defects. Tell us about that.
Depending on the research, it's about 12 to 30% as a root cause for those kinds of things. But put in context the fact that we drive in traffic, we have medications that we take, we're working in different in environments, we breathe outdoor air. I mean, there are certainly a lot of other, I mean, the pets we own and love, I mean, all these things are contributing factors. But clearly, there is a piece of this we can control, and it is the chemical cleaning piece that's easy for us to control if we just know what to do.
What kind of support is there for the increase in the rates of cancer and things like that? Are there many studies that go on as far as these different chemicals go?
Everybody from the EPA, the CDC, the USPA, there's research done in Europe and Asia. There are private studies by universities and labs, and even studies done by the manufacturers themselves. So there's just a wealth of information. And indeed, there are certifying groups out there that certify things as being less harmful and being green and that, that sort of thing. So any place that you turn, I mean, if you Google this kind of stuff, you'll find just enormous, much more than you can read in terms of the science behind the claims.
We'll get into more about your website a little bit later on the show, but do you have that information as well, or links to that information on your website, or no?
Absolutely. Yes, okay, indeed. Good. It's on the website. Also, you'll find it in actually two books. So I wrote a book about a year and a half ago called Extreme Green Cleaning, and it's available on Amazon, and I'm literally in publication for the second edition of that book, which in about 2 months ought to also be on Amazon.
Yeah, right. And we're going to talk about those books as well. And I just want to mention your website, cfcn.info, so people can check that out. We'll mention that again. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the stuff that's on your website as well. And most people as well, you say, are using products the wrong way, I guess. So what are some of the ways that they're using them improperly? And what are the dangers caused by this misuse, especially if other than some of these illnesses we talked about?
Well, let me start with probably some of the most common. People use this product, it's called bleach. A lot of people probably even heard of it. And the secret to bleach, if you actually read the material, is that when you use bleach in any form, and you can dilute it and mix it and do other things with it, requires something called dwell time. That is, in order for it to be an effective disinfectant, you've got to spray it on the surface and watch it for 10 to 15 minutes before you remove it. Otherwise, you might as well spit on the surface and you'll get the same net result. It's not going to do any good if you don't allow it to sit. So the first thing I observe in my own research is people don't watch it. They spray it on and wipe it up.
Sure.
Well, the same thing is true with other disinfectants like quaternary ammonia. If anybody who goes to a restaurant and you sort of watch them prep your table. You know, you walk in, you watch them, they spray the table, and they wipe it up. And you're thinking, boy, they killed everything on the table. This is a really neat place. It's clean. It's wonderful. It's sanitized. Not so. There is this dwell time question. They have to spray that table. They have to let it sit. And then 5 to 10 to 15 minutes later, they can wipe it up. And indeed, they've killed the stuff that's on the table. But if you watch them spray, wipe, and walk away, it's not happening. That's why I like restaurants with tablecloth and at least a paper mat. So I'm careful where I put my stuff. So it's one of the ways that people don't understand how to use these products is indeed the issue of dwell time. Another issue is to understand how the consequences of this thing comes back to bite you. There's three ways that this information and these products have to be understood. One is you can absorb these products and they do you damage. Second, you can inhale them and they do you damage. And third, you can ingest them. Not too many people are drinking them, but you know, when you spray, if you're doing a window cleaner or a sanitizer or a disinfectant for your baby's crib and you spray, the particles stay airborne, sometimes up to 4 hours. So in effect, you're ingesting by breathing them. By the way, do you know how long it takes before some chemicals from the point of initial contact to when they can actually show up in the organs of your body? Do you know how long that takes?
No, I don't. Tell us, please.
The science says it takes 26 seconds.
Wow.
So it's not like I'm going to put my hand in there for 4 hours and then that's a problem. Not so. Get it on your hands. 26 seconds.
If they develop a way to take something for a migraine headache, that kind of stuff will get in your system pretty quick. Spray.
Pretty quick. So the idea of using gloves, if I can just jump to the solution, you know, those rubber gloves are a really good idea, and people ought to use them. And the other thing I'd say to you is that the sprays people use to clean their windows, most of the times it's blue. It can be orange or green, or it could be anything. Those things contain an ammonia base of one kind or another. Mm-hmm. And if you have an asthmatic condition in your family, just spraying can actually trigger an asthmatic attack. The stuff that's in those bottles is not those window cleaners is not like as good as everybody thinks they are. They do a job, but for the most part, they contain an ammonia base of one kind or another, because that's good for cutting the grease.
You bring up bleach. Let's give listeners a couple seconds to figure out what bleach and vinegar equals, because this is kind of interesting. So if anybody's figured that out in the last couple few seconds here, Vince, maybe you can tell us what does that equal? It's a pretty common combination. I guess there's other dangerous chemical combinations that people use, and maybe you can tell us about some other ones. But what is this bleach and vinegar?
Well, vinegar is an acidic acid, and what happens with bleach, and this is literally, it creates a World War One mustard gas, which destroys your lungs and your eyes. I mean, you could take any product that contains ammonia and add it to bleach, and you're creating mustard gas.
Wow!
If you ever do that and you're within 5 feet of that, you're going to smell it. And as soon as you smell it, run like the dickens, because the reality is that's not a good thing to have in the home. The other piece of that is it's almost any kind of thing that contains ammonia. So you have to be really careful when you're dealing with bleach. What is it you're going to do that affects both the bleach and that other product? There are too many cases of people who have asthma that end up in a hospital with an asthmatic attack just by cleaning their home. You know, there used to be an old question of how clean is clean, and you had, after World War II, all these products that advertised being strong and effective, and they are. But the reality is that those are the same things that are killing germs that are killing us. So the question today is not so much how clean is clean, but how safe is clean, because more and more data is showing up to say, you know, we're hurting ourselves. we dump 6 billion gallons of toxic chemicals into our waterways and streams every year. In the U.S., we've polluted two-thirds of our riverways and waterways. I mean, you can't swim in it. You wouldn't eat anything out of it. You wouldn't want to get it on you. That's pretty dangerous stuff.
And you got to wonder just how well the stations which clean our water, how effective those jobs are.
Well, I have to be careful what they're adding to the water. There's some science that's showing up saying that the stuff that they actually add to the water also contains chemicals that don't leach and can actually be harmful. I mean, there's a whole rethinking of the idea of fluoride and using chlorine to sort of sanitize the water, which, again, this all flows through the system. You know, we dump, just on a building-by-building basis, in our homes we have 63 generally different chemicals that are carcinogenic or harmful, on average. An average office building dumps 1,600 gallons of toxic chemicals into the system every year. We have nearly 5 million buildings out there doing that. I mean, do the math.
Right, yeah. And I think what's really bad about this is the fact that when you talk about mixing chemicals, people, they don't realize they're playing with fire because of the fact that our way of thinking is that, you know, I buy this off the shelf. It can't be harmful. You know, it's an everyday product at my grocery store, and here you start mixing these things, and it's like a chemical lab in your home.
Oh, my. And you know, I understand the logic. Bleach is really powerful as a cleaner. Ammonia is powerful in a cleaner. How about a super-duper cleaner?
There you go.
That'll knock you off. By the way, and let me just hint at this one. There is a way to use bleach and another common household item to create what's called a bottle bomb. Literally, you can create a bomb that will destroy anything within 5 feet. Chlorine, bleach.
Wow. That's a whole other show right there.
Oh, my.
Now, you also talk about cleaning year-round being much better than cleaning in the spring, like people clean once. What makes it better to be cleaning all year rather than just that one major cleaning?
Well, I'll tell you a story. I was raised on a farm. Mm-hmm. We had this contraption called a screen door. I mean, I can remember my mother saying, "Don't slam the screen door," you know, all the time. Had this little spring on it. But it meant that we had a constant airflow through the house. I mean, constant. Well, what's happened today is, in our quest to be energy efficient and lower those utility bills, we've sealed our houses up. I mean, and office buildings, and there are houses and buildings where you can't even open the windows, and many don't even have screen doors anymore. So what happens is we spend 90% of our time in an indoor environment, one place or another. Indoor environments become cumulatively more toxic as time goes on. The chemicals you use to clean don't go away. They stay in the facility, whether it's an office building or a school, for example, or your home. So as that happens, it accumulates not only in the air, but it settles on all surfaces. So by touching the surfaces, they're absorbed. And if you have dust, it's absorbed by the dust. So I remember another thing that used to happen. Every year, actually twice a year, my mother would open all windows, open all doors, and do something called spring cleaning. It was a really thorough, I mean, we did the walls, the ceiling, I mean, we did everything.
Sure.
Well, you cannot remove the toxic chemicals or dust out of your home these days because they're so sealed if you only do that once a year or twice a year. So I'm advocating that you have at least a quarterly spring cleaning. And if you can pry open your windows and doors, open them up on a great day, air out the house, remove all those toxins, wipe down the surfaces, and I think you'll have a healthier environment. So if you suffer from asthma or breathing difficulties, if you want a healthier family, spring cleaning is a good idea, and do it often.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Vince about some technologies that we can use to clean without the risks of products and chemicals. And we'll also talk to him about the two related books he's penned right after this.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
All right, we're back. I'm speaking with Vince Elliott. We are talking about some of the household cleaning products you use every day and how they could be harmful to you, maybe even kill you. I want to bring up the Chemical Free Cleaning Network. So you're the founder of that. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And let me just give you the backstory.
Yeah.
I've been an advisor to people who own and manage buildings for nearly 40 years. And about 2 years ago, my clients came to me and said, Vince, you know, we're LEED certified, we're green, you know, we got this big sign on the outside, but we feel like that maybe there's something else. What's next? What's over the horizon? And, you know, I thought I was a pretty smart guy, but I had to turn around and say, I don't know. It took me about 8 months to find out. And in the 8 months, I traveled literally around the world, talked to people all over, talked to companies. And what I found was the way we clean everywhere has a toxic and unfortunate health and environmental effect, even safety. And we injure 180,000 cleaning workers a year from the chemicals they use, just one small step. So, but I also found out there are these solutions that the industry is bringing to us, some very old, some new, that will get us past this. And so the Chemical Free Cleaning Network really was a product that I put together to allow me to both educate and advocate for this idea of finding less harmful ways to clean our offices, our buildings, and our schools. So it sort of evolved in that direction, and in fact it's still evolving. I mean, we actually put on something called a Chemical Free Cleaning Expo, and we're working actually with the University of Maryland in D.C. College Park to sponsor a two-day examination of chemical-free cleaning alternatives. And we're bringing in manufacturers and speakers and scientists, and it's about advocating for that model and that idea. So that's how this Chemical-Free Cleaning Network actually came to be. And frankly, my first book preceded that because after all the research I'd done, I said, you know, nobody knows about this. So I pushed this book out there at that time. So that's the Chemical-Free Cleaning Network model. And the website is constantly growing and changing and evolving, and that's the way it should be.
And again, the website, www.cfcn.info. You've mentioned that you've been an advisor for some companies and so forth. You've also been an advisor and consultant to the cleaning industry for almost four decades. Who have you consulted for as well in that area?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you take the Fortune 500. We've been with those folks off and on. We work with airports. We work with colleges, universities. We work with major property management companies, literally all over the United States. I actually had a client in Venezuela, another one in Dubai. So we really are advocating for a better way that's healthier, safer, and protects our environment. And you know, I'm willing to go just about anywhere to make that point. Specific clients, you know, I could go down, it would take us forever to go down that list, but those are sort of the general markets that we're in.
Well, it's great to know that you and there may be companies like you that are out there advocating cleaning cleaner, you know. Now, you've also been published in national magazines. What are some of the different publications that you've written for?
First, I'm a regular columnist in the Cleaning, Maintenance, and Management magazine, which is an industry regular magazine and newsletter that goes out, and I'm a regular columnist for that. I've also published in Buildings Magazine, Building Owners and Managers Magazine, and the IFMA and BOMA publications as well. So I've kind of covered most of the areas for publication, and I've spoken at probably 300 national conferences as a speaker on various topics of building, cleaning, and management. So,
great.
Traveled quite a bit to do that. I have a couple of degrees to help me get that forward as well.
Yeah, I want to mention that you do have a master's from Johns Hopkins University. That's in health sciences. What got you interested in that field to begin with?
Well, I have to say, as a youngster, once I went through my military service and served in the U.S. Army, I got out and I was looking for this strange thing called a job. And I happened to connect with a company that was a bunch of industrial engineers. You know, these are the guys that walk around with stopwatches and look at how many times you move your right arm versus your left arm.
Right.
I had my degree in economics, so I don't know what I was doing there, but there I was with my stopwatch. And after a couple of years, I said, you know, maybe there's another solution besides telling people they can save 45.1059672 minutes a year by moving your left arm instead of your right arm. And that sort of got me into this arena because my specialty was the support departments in healthcare institutions. And that was everything from cleaning to maintenance to laundry. And so as I moved through that, what I found was that there's a great need to systematize and organize around the task that had to be done. And here's a quick side story. There was this gentleman, I'm not sure how many people would know, W. Edward Deming. Dr. Deming is kind of considered the father of the quality movement in the U.S. and in Japan. And while I was there at a Virginia hospital, he actually sat at dinner. He came to the table, sat down, and we had this great conversation. Didn't even know who he was at the time. About how to measure and manage and test when you're doing any kind of assignment. And I applied it to this arena.
Now, I want to talk to you about your books. You're the author of Your Home, Clean, Green, and Dangerous. So tell us about that book and as well the Extreme Green Cleaning book.
Well, the first book you mentioned is actually available for free. Free for no money. It's a downloadable book. You can go to the website and press the button and it'll print out on your printer and you'll have this book that's available. But another site that also has the book, because sometimes this thing gets overloaded, is a site called Elliott Affiliates Limited, which is the operational arm for implementing these ideas. And that's www.ealtd. That's E-A-L and the last is T-D, TomDavid.com. And again, that book, it's a free download for, your home, Clean, Green, and Dangerous. The other book, Extreme Green Cleaning, Volume 1, is available on Amazon.com. And as I say, the second edition of that book that took me 2 years to put together will soon be on Amazon, probably in about 60 days. Literally, it's at the printer as we speak.
I want to talk to you about some of the better solutions for cleaning. And first of all, I want to ask you what electrolyzed water is.
Well, it's interesting. There's this strategy that people have used with water, and it's for those in the industry, they're very familiar with this because it's absolutely an industry disruptor technology. That is, you can imagine chemical companies producing all of these various chemicals that are both traditional and green. And by the way, let me make a fast segue into this question of green. Mm-hmm. People think if I have a green product, you know, it's labeled green, it's a green, it says green on the thing, that I'm doing really the best I can do for my family and my work. And the answer is not. What green means is it's 5 to 15 times less toxic in chemical content than the traditional chemical. So that's 5 to 15 times less toxic. Mm-hmm. The parenthetical truth is, it's still toxic. I mean, it's still toxic, it's just less so. Mm-hmm. So we want to kind of get beyond the question that says, well, okay, is less toxic better than really toxic? So I want to move to the issue that says, how about zero? I mean, how about no toxicity at all? Nothing into the environment that will hurt the environment or us. I mean, you take a simple thing. People like fragrances. You know, they plug them in, they spray them. It smells good. The house smells clean. EPA says 5 out of 6 of those are toxic. Mm-hmm. 5 out of 6 fragrances. toxic. Well, I know you want to smell clean, but, you know, what's the price?
So back to the electrolyzed water?
Electrolyzed water. Yeah. Okay, electrolyzed water does this. You take regular tap water, and there are several products, and I'll talk about those. Mm-hmm. You put them through a wall-mounted unit on the industry side. They're charged with 5,000 volts of electricity. And what they do is one of two things. One strategy is there's an aqueous ozone product that takes a molecule of oxygen, adds it to the water, so it's no longer H2O, it's H2O2. Aqueous ozone cleaned 2.5 times stronger than bleach, and it works 3,100 times faster as a kill rate than bleach.
Wow.
It's produced by a company called Tersano. The product is called Lotus Pro. You can go on the internet and find all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that they do with electrolyzed water, and they call it electrolyzed water, engineered water. I mean, there's all these different terminologies.
Sure.
But the basic thing is the same. And in that strategy, they add a dash of salt. And then the salt electrolyzes the water when they hit it with electricity. And it becomes both an acid and an ability to clean on both sides of the spectrum. So it's both alkaline and acid. And then those can actually put into spray bottles. Both of these strategies are available in home units. Now, you don't need a wall unit to have 5,000 volts of electricity. For both of these, you simply plug it in like your coffee pot, fill it with water, set it there, you watch the bubbles come up, and when it's ready, you can literally spray your house with energized, modified tap water that will do the job of cleaning. The best part about that is that after a specific period of time, 2 minutes to 2 hours, it loses that molecule of oxygen, it loses that electrical charge, and what you're left with is oxygen and tap water. And that's what gets dumped into the environment.
Plants, which absorb...
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Gotta love plants. Indoor air environment. If you want to clean up your indoor air environment with all these toxins, you can use a great variety of plants. I mean, a peace lily is wonderful for cleaning up things. You can go to any English ivy if you like that. There's this wonderful thing called mother-in-law's tongue, which I love to death. If that cleans up stuff in the environment, you can go to almost any kind of asparagus fern, for gosh sake. So there's all these things that will actually clean up the air for you. They breathe in the toxin, breathe out oxygen, and you basically, I know some people in an industrial environment who really have enormous breathing and respiratory issues. And what they do is they have one or more plants in their office area. One plant per 100,000 square feet, which is about a 10 by 10 room, will actually clean the air in that room. I mean, how much does that strategy cost? And the answer doesn't cost a lot. By the way, there are other strategies. You can use ultraviolet light.
Mm-hmm.
Ultraviolet light kills bed bugs, by the way. It also sanitizes. You can run it over surfaces. How about microfiber cloth? Not necessarily a new idea. It's been around for a couple of years. Fibers are 100 times thinner than a human hair, and they literally will pick up the bacteria off of a surface. It's a piece of cloth.
There's more information on your website. Once again, www.cfcn.info. We're out of time today, Vince. I really appreciate you being on the show. However, sharing all this information, hopefully we get some traffic to your website to check out the information further there.
Well, Big JD, thank you so much. Great to be here.
All right. Looks like there are greener ways to clean, and not only greener than we may have known, but safer. So check out cfcn.info for more information and Vince Elliott's free book, Your Home, Clean, Green, and Dangerous. As well, check out amazon.com for his other book, The Extreme Green Cleaning Book. You yourself or know someone that might be interested in being a guest on You Talking to Me, maybe have an interesting career or life experience to share, story, contact me from the website. That's youtalkingtome.ca, the letter U, talking, the number 2, me.ca. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.